All right, everybody, thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the Blaney Philosophy Podcast. It's Saturday morning. The weekend started. Let's get it. Let's get after it, baby. This week, we're talking about the X-Man again. We're talking about earth and water as fundamental. What does that mean? We'll get all into that and we'll get a full understanding of the universe. Just did want to mention on my quest to 25 words or less describing who I am. One of those words I picked was joyful. Yeah, that's right, joyful. I am, you know, as the ones that, a word that would resonate with me more than any word in the world, and just when I say it, my heart just sings, and just I feel that presence of that word in me. Well, yeah, that's not one of my 25 words. I've decided, I've mulled it over a bit. I'm not joyful. That's not really intrinsically me. Part of me, I suppose, because I'm a human being, I do feel joy, but yeah, not one of my 25. So that's my update on my quest to 25. And now let's move right along. Let's get some more information. Maybe perhaps I can circle back to joyful and, you know, re-examine that after earth, water as fundamental to everything. So the X-Man speculates that the physical world needs to be understood in the context of his predecessors. Now, this is all coming, as usual, from the Internet Encyclopedia of Philosophy. Thanks to them for sharing all this knowledge with us. So the X-Man comes after these Milesian philosophers. And these Milesian philosophers, as we all know, are Thales, Anaximenes, and Anaximander. So these are the guys that said, Thales was like, I think he said, all the world is water. And then Anaximenes said it was air, I believe. And then Anaximander said it was the arche. Oh, for Thales, the arche was water. For Anaximenes, air was fundamental. And all other apparent stuffs of reality could be accounted for by a principle of condensation. And then rarefication, which I guess means evaporation. And then for Anaximander, the boundless or infinite stuff is something called apeiron. So now X-Man is like, I like the way you guys are thinking. I like what these building blocks are here, but instead of picking one, I'm going to pick two. And the two I'm picking are earth and water. So now he's saying, how does this work? All things that come into being and grow are earth and water. That's from fragment 29. And then some other old Greek guy was saying that this quotes Xenophanes saying that he held that the history of the natural world has been a continually alienating process of extreme dryness and wetness. At the point of extreme wetness, the earth sinks completely into mud and all humans perish. Once the world begins to dry out, there's a period of regeneration in which life on earth begins again. Xenophanes developed this theory based on a wide variety of empirical evidence. Empirical meaning, like investigative reporting. Dun, dun, dun. Particularly, he examined fossils. So he found fossils up in the mountains. And he was like, well, how did this fish end up all the way up here? And then he's like, oh, everything must have been really wet. And everything got wet really high. And then the fish he was swimming around and died. And then slammed into this rock. And that's how we have the fossil here. Pretty amazing stuff. From 2,600 years ago, the guy's walking around. Guy doesn't have indoor plumbing, air conditioning. Nothing. Nothing. He's living in like, I don't know, he's living in the Colosseum maybe. I don't know. Did everybody live in the Colosseum? Or did they have little huts? But anyways, this guy had like basically no microscope, no nothing to go off of, to work with. His tools were limited. His toolbox was limited. And he came up with this idea of fossils. So, kudos to this guy. He's a smart man. Alright, so then the key source of this is Hippolytus? I don't know. He's another philosopher, I guess. But he wrote about the X-Man figuring this out. So he discussed how the X-Man gathered proof for this thesis. from the existence of the imprint of the sea creatures and seashells that he found way far inland and up high. All right, so... So prior thinkers had speculated on the possibility that the Earth had been reduced to mud, but the X-Man seems to be the first to provide evidence coupled with deduction to support his theory. So he didn't just say, well, I think this is true, this is my personal truth, this is my opinion, I'm just kind of going with my gut. This guy actually said, hey, everybody, let's take a class trip and go out and see the fossils. So he did some legwork. He wore out some shoe leather. So got to give that guy respect. He's not sitting on his tuchus, sitting in front of a computer, right-clicking on his spreadsheet. He's actually going out and he's looking at fossils. And, so there we go. All right, let's get in. We got some time here. So let's move on to demythologizing heavenly phenomena. All right, so although we don't have much by way of direct statements from the X-Man, there's a good deal of testimony that references his views on astronomy and meteorology. Wow. I don't think they had astronomy and meteorology back then. Or Thales was looking up at the sky. Thales was predicting earthquakes and stuff and how the heavens would affect the crops. So yeah, so it was very primitive, but nonetheless, these guys are doing it. So the X-Man held the view that the sun comes into being either by a collection of ignited clouds or pieces of fiery earth. So he's looking at the clouds up there and he's going, what are these clouds? Some of these might go like way, way, way high, and boom, you got the sun. So the sun is not a Greek god going across the sky in his chariot, being, flaming with flames out the back of the chariot or whatever it is. This guy's saying, no, you look at the clouds go up, boom, you got a sun. There's none of this nonsense about the god of this, that, or the other thing. So that's another big, big, big swipe right at these guys that are talking about these guys down at the temple talking about the gods doing this, that, and the other thing. So, all right, boom. So, yeah, we're relying on, like, Heraclitus a bit because Heraclitus was a big reader of the X-Man. So the speculations seem somewhat justified, particularly given the fact that the X-Man proposed a view that the clouds were responsible for various heavenly phenomena. This key passage in Fragment 32, if you want to refer to it at home, he explains the rainbow. And she whom they call Iris, this too is by nature a cloud, purple, red, and greenish yellow to behold. And then, I don't know who Iris is. Is Iris a god? So maybe that's another swipe here saying, no, you jackass. No, you see, it was raining. Now that thing shows up, and then we're going to be looking over at that thing. And, you know, it makes some colors in the sky, but that doesn't mean there's a god over there. You have nothing to base that on. Man, this guy just, you know, that opening bell rings, and he just comes out swinging at everybody. And then there's supernatural so then there's also like the stars. Further evidence. Okay, so here's another quote from this guy. The sea is the source of water and of wind. For without the great sea, there would be no wind, nor streams of rivers, nor rainwater from on high. But the great sea is the begetter of clouds, winds, and rivers. And now again, the Greeks were saying there's a god that's responsible for the sea, for the wind, all that stuff, right? So it would be natural somebody who lived in his time, they'd hear that and they'd know that this is a reference. Without explicitly announcing their banishment, the X-Man has dispatched a bunch of an array of traditional sea, river, cloud, wind, and rain gods, hence, and Zeus himself, to the sidelines. He kicks them out. He says, get out of here. I'm the main player now. And then, what else we got here? Let's finish this up. So, Oceanus, Oceanus. Yeah, he's not the source of waters, rivers, seas, springs, and wells, as declared. Ironically, though, let's leave it at this. Ironically, X-Men's value-free speculations on the natural world, with the goal of scientific inquiry today, guaranteed that his physical theorizing would be disregarded by Plato and Aristotle. All right, so he comes out swinging. He takes everybody down. These gods. Gods! No, you don't question the gods. Well, this man did. And then Plato and Aristotle came back and were like, yeah, good stuff, but you're all wrong. So now we're just about out of time. I've ruled out joyful. I still got 25 words to go. And we're on that journey here, kids. So if you got your 25 words, even if you got, if you've really good and you got your five, kudos to you. It's Saturday morning. Know who you are. Know what you're getting after. Don't try to become something. Just be who you are. That's all that's required of you. That's all that's needed of you. That's all that's not needed or required. It's what's wanted of you. That's what you want to live. You're a simple person. You're a simple man or woman. You're a human being. That's what we got. That's what we know. This much I know. So, oh!